Well, today we'll be looking at Luke chapter 6, and we'll be looking at verses 17 to 26. Now, up to this point in Luke, Jesus has been living out his mission by healing the broken, healing the sick, forgiving sinners, and claiming to be God. He showed himself to the world at this point of in Rome, in the Roman era here, that he was the offspring of Abraham who would ultimately bless the nations. And this has put him at odds with the religious elite who are now plotting to put him to death. And so Jesus has spent all night praying on a mountain and has chosen 12 apostles to represent a remade Israel, faithful to his mission. And so now the apostles who are being called to continue Jesus' mission after he has finished his work are going to be headed for hardship. And so the reality, as they are going to be expressing this, facing this in the future, Jesus is going to show them what is to come. And now the reality for us is that most of us and most people in the world desire financial stability. We desire plenty of food. We desire happiness, and we desire positive relationships. And we desire these over hardships. And when we experience difficulties in these areas, we want more than anything to just make it stop. And I wonder what it is in your life that you wish would stop, or be fixed, or be restored, or be healed. Where would you love to be free? Maybe you are constantly seeking approval from people. Maybe you are worrying about the future. I get it. All of us are like this to some degree or another. And so today, what I want to do is I want to invite you into a journey with me to find freedom. Let me read our passage from Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 17. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God is forever, and all God's people said, Amen. The hashtags blessed and blessing are extremely popular on social media platforms. On Instagram alone, these simple ways of categorizing a topic have been used in more than 170 million posts, with an average of 1,000 a day, and then 86 comments on those per post. And if you don't know what a hashtag is, it is simply a way to categorize a particular message that you post for people to read. And the reason for this massive post of hashtag blessing, hashtag blessed, is because everyone wants a life of blessing. But what does it mean to be blessed? You know, in Jesus' time, just like today, most people thought that it meant something that brings about happiness, something that brings about well-being. In verses 17 to 19, we see that large crowds came from all over to receive blessings from Jesus. In fact, some of these people traveled from over 50 miles, which is the 1 to 2 day journey. Can you imagine people traveling 1 to 2 days to get blessing? To be just touched by Jesus, or to touch Jesus so that they could be healed from diseases, from unclean spirits, by the power that just came from him. When we think of these people traveling this far to be healed, what we see is an example of what great lengths people will do to find blessing. Just like the crowds, people will do anything for a hashtag blessed life. This isn't necessarily a bad thing. We all want blessings in our life. But our problem is that true blessing is commonly misunderstood. True blessing is commonly misunderstood. You know, as a child, I was vertically challenged and I was emotional. So I was often bullied growing up. And I would have done anything to be able to send out an Instagram post with a picture of me and all of my friends around me with a hashtag blessed underneath it. I would have done anything to have that, even if it meant long-term consequences in my life. And this desire for blessing and acceptance is actually a common human experience. We tend to think that a blessed life is one in which material possessions, emotional satisfaction, positive relationships will bring happiness. However, Jesus actually warns us that this is a misunderstanding of where true blessings are found. Jesus knew that his disciples would likely be facing cursings instead of blessings after he left the earth, and which is more than likely why we see verses 20 to 26 come out. He looks at his disciples, is what the text says. He looks at his disciples, lifts up his eyes on them, and he explains what true blessing is, contrasting with, or I should say, contrasting it by two words. One is blessing, and the other one is woe. The first word, blessing, means a privileged recipient of God's favor. It's really true blessing, real blessing. And the idea of a woe, the word woe is an interjection, like wow, kind of a thing, that expresses pain or displeasure. And it is speaking of temporary blessings. And so as he contrasts these two ideas, using the same words, Jesus teaches that earthly blessings are fleeting. And if you see up there, blessed are you who are poor, but woe to you who are rich. Blessed are you who are hungry now. Woe to you who are full now. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Woe to you who laugh now. And then the next slide, blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil. Woe to you when all people speak well of you. Can you see the contrast? The same ideas reversed. And so, essentially, those who are prioritizing wealth and satisfaction in life will get their reward by experiencing permanent lack. Those who seek their only happiness in this life will ultimately experience sorrow. Those that live for the praise of others, like the prophets of old, will face God's judgment. You see, as we seek temporary blessings in this life instead of permanent ones, we will discover that what money can buy will never truly satisfy us. We will always be hungry again. And we will never escape the criticism of others. There is a solution to the problem, though. Jesus bore God's curse so that we could experience a life of God's permanent blessing. Jesus bore God's curse so that we could experience a life of God's permanent blessing. Now, if you look with me at how Jesus redefines blessings in this passage, here's the question. Is he really saying that you must be poor, you must be hungry, you must be weeping, and you must experience reproach and being ridiculed to be blessed? Well, yes and no. In verses 22 to 23, I think that Jesus is connecting these things with himself. The Son of Man, who became these things for us. By saying that those who bear the insult and reproach for him should rejoice and celebrate because they will receive their reward in heaven, he's showing how these things are connected to him. You see, he's not just saying you got to be poor to get into heaven. You got to be sad. You got to be hungry. What he's saying is that these things, you have to have these things connected with him and his person. And here's why. Jesus bore the woe of poverty so that you and I might be rich. He lived a life without riches and without a home. And then he bore the eternal wrath of God for our sake on the cross so that we might inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus bore the woe of hunger so that we might be eternally satisfied. He knew hunger and allowed his body to be broken so that we might eat of his life and find eternal satisfaction. Jesus bore the woe of weeping so that you and I might laugh. He wept over the death of his friend Lazarus. And then he died himself so that we might live. He wept over Jerusalem as he approached it to be hung on a cross by people from his own people who would put him to death because of their rebellion and our rebellion so that we might be children. He, in agony, sweat drops of blood so that we could experience joy. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that we could cry, Abba, Father. Jesus bore the woe of being mocked, ridiculed, scoffed at, so that we might be rejoiced over by God and that he might sing over us, as we read in Zephaniah, that God sings over his people. Jesus entered our world. He became a curse for us so that we might be eternally blessed, so that we might receive the promised Holy Spirit by faith. I just want to look at Galatians chapter 3 for one moment, because it's so powerful. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Listen to this, and you can see the connection. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Can you hear it? If worldly blessings have not satisfied you, and you dread the possibility of death and of experiencing God's curse because of your rebellion against him, Jesus invites you today to give him your curse so that you will be satisfied both now and forevermore in the blessings of God. You see, this amazing gift should draw us into worship. To worship the one who, for the joy set before him, took on and bore shame and the curse of the cross so that you and I might experience the blessings of God. This is what we should see in this connection with blessing and woe. Jesus bore the woe, bore the curse of the cross, and endured those sufferings so that we would enter into his joy, that we would enter into his blessing. But how should we think about what Jesus says about being poor, about being hungry, about mourning, and about being despised? Well, because we have the permanent blessing of God, we can bear the world's curses. Because we have the permanent blessing of God, we can bear the curses of the world. You know, as a child, I longed for the relief from the curses that I was experiencing at school, from being mocked, derided, made fun of. Despite being raised in a Christian home, I hadn't actually yet received the Holy Spirit, who would enable me to understand Jesus' sacrifice and love for me. I was trapped in people-pleasing, seeking validation from others instead of the blessing of God. Looking back, I wonder, how would things have been different if I had understood that God's blessing was upon me? Regardless of the curses of others, how would my life have changed? Instead of coming home in tears, what would it have been like had I understood that the world's curses mean nothing? Do they hurt? Yes. But Jesus said that woe to those who have people who speak well of them, because that's what they did to the false prophets. You know, there's a story in the Bible of two kings, one from Israel and one from Judah, who went to war together. And as they were about to go to war, the king from Judah wanted to hear from a prophet of what was going to happen, whether this was a good idea. So they called a prophet in. And there was these other prophets that were there, and they were talking about how it was going to be so successful and everything was going to work out. And the prophet of God said, "Oh yeah, sure, go ahead, go to war." He was being sarcastic. Because the other king said, no, don't lie to me. Tell me really what's going on. And as the false prophets were putting horns on their head and rearing up and saying, "So will you do to your enemies," the true prophet said, "You will die. The king of Israel will die today." He said that a lying spirit had been sent from God to deceive the king of Israel, so that he would go out to war and die. Having people speak good of you is not always the best thing. You know, it's difficult to embrace a life of cursing, isn't it? It's difficult to embrace a life of poverty. It's difficult to embrace a life of hunger and sadness, and even persecution. We are promised great rewards, however, as we set our hope on our future with Christ. You see, Paul in Philippians 3, 7-16 says that our trials can help us know Christ better. That though difficult, our present struggles are part of God's blessing and work for our good. We can rejoice, in fact, Paul says, and sharing Christ's sufferings, because through it we gain a deeper knowledge of Christ and know Him better. In Christ, we can look forward to eternal blessings while also recognizing that even our current hardships are part of God's plan to bless us in the present. And that's what's hard to see. You see, Jesus endured poverty, hunger, sorrow, rejection, so that we could experience spiritual riches, satisfaction, joy, and acceptance. Understanding this profound truth can transform your perspective on the hardships of life and can liberate you from the misery that these things often cause. If people make fun of you, remember Jesus. If you remember that though Jesus was God, He became a humble servant and took on an ordinary person in His humanity. If you remember that, you just might find freedom from other people's opinions and thank Him that He made you the way that He made you and that He counted you worthy to bear the sufferings that He bears for you for His sake, instead of trying to figure out how to look better or be different so people will accept you. You just might do that. If coworkers mock your Christian faith, remember Jesus, His sacrifice. If you remember that He endured the cross, the curse of the cross, to secure God's blessings for you, and you already have God's approval, you might just thank Him for counting you worthy to face ridicule at your work for His name, and you might just find the freedom from being and needing to be liked by other people and having them accept you. And you might just focus on God's view of you as children of God than what other people think of you. If you're facing financial hardship and are struggling to afford food, remember Jesus, that He experienced hunger for our sake, that He is the bread of life, and that you need more than just physical food. In fact, what did Jesus say? That man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And when you do, when you remember that, you just might pray like Agur did in Proverbs 30, thanking God for His provision, for His word, and then asking the Lord, "Don't give me too much wealth so that I forget you. And don't make me so poor that I sin against you by basically stealing." You just might pray that. And then ask Him to keep you from the worry of your present situation. And this just might help you trust in God's provision and free you to live in peace during difficulties. Now, if you have more wealth than you need, remember Jesus. He gave up His riches to enrich you spiritually. If you remember this, you just might find yourself wanting to share your abundance with people in need, whether in your church or your community, which will help others to see Christ's generosity for them and might free you from the endless pursuit of wealth. Now, if you have plenty of food and you like to eat, remember Jesus. He is your true nourishment. If you remember this, you just might find yourself wanting to invite someone over for dinner who is hungry. Or you might just find yourself hungering for righteousness of Christ instead of that midnight snack, which might just free you from slavery to food to experience a greater feasting upon the fullness of Christ. If you are thinking about your life right now, and you are seeing how the temporary blessings that you might be living in are just not enough, then Jesus invites you to trust Him so that you can have his everlasting blessings. He invites you to enter the life of being a privileged recipient of the Maker's divine favor and goodness. Will you act upon his invitation to look away from the frowns of the world to the God who's smiling at you and receive a life of true freedom? You see, though the world may look at you and frown, when you look at the world through the lens of God and his upside-down kingdom, you will see the smile of your Father saying to you, "You are my son or daughter in Christ. I am well pleased with you." Remember this. Jesus Christ was cursed so that you might be blessed, and know that God's smile is looking, his face is looking at you, and he is singing over you. That can change everything about your life. Father, you are good. Your love is sure. You are righteous and holy. You are just and true. And your kingdom is not the way that we expect it to be. It is the upside down kingdom from the way that we experience, from the way that we expect. And in you, we have life and joy and peace. Would you allow us to see that blessings do not come from temporary things, but blessings come from you, knowing you and knowing your smile. Would you fill us with your Spirit and show us, reveal to us how much Christ has done to bring us blessing? And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.